is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room, and here's a little bit of what we are getting told on a daily basis. Yeah, we're getting told that the LGBT agenda is totally justified, you know, that this is a perfectly legitimate choice of life, and we don't just need to tolerate it, we need to celebrate it. And that is pretty much what the media is telling us, what the modern agenda is trying to push down our throats on almost on a daily basis. Okay, we have got a talk here by a gentleman, and he's called Bruce Smith Jr., and he has written a book, and it's called The Truth About Homosexuality. A very difficult subject to deal with, especially in these days, where anything you say is pretty much considered to be on the brink of hate speech. But nevertheless, I mean, the book consists of facts, and he's sort of presenting a whole range of facts on this subject matter. And I think it's very important as Christians that we are prepared. We cannot follow this agenda, which is pushed down our throats. It's introduced into the churches. They try to change the church as well, and church doctrine and theology. It's happening right now. It's happening underneath our eyes. And if we say, look, you know, this lifestyle is not right, it's damaging, it's not good for those people who've got these inclinations, we should, rather than encouraging them to follow their inclinations, we should encourage them to seek a better way. Anyway, Bruce will give you a lot of arguments and a lot of, you know, supported by facts, which very often are conveniently ignored by the media to make this point. Okay, let's move over to Bruce.
I was trying to figure out how I was going to do an introduction to this, and my dad did an excellent job, so I don't even got to worry about that. Amen. So, bled out. We're just going to start right with the cover of the book, The Truth About Homosexuality. How many people in here know somebody? Okay. I don't want to ask anybody if they're struggling themselves. You know that. But if you know somebody who identifies that way or struggling that way, this is important information. Because like my dad said, if it's bad, and that's what we're going to discuss today, whether it's not or whether it is, if it's bad, then they need to know the truth. Amen. It does them no service and no help to just, you know, breeze past it and act like it's a great thing if it's not. So that's what we're going to talk about. Why homosexuality? A lot of people get mad at me. I'm sure you can understand why. They're like, why are you always talking about the homosexuality and all stuff, you know? You guys know it's an important topic. Yes. And I'll get into the different reasons why. Number one, it's unique. You guys will never hear any other sin in the Bible. For example, you won't hear anything like a pedophile pride parade or divorceophobia or incest equality. You know, you don't hear that type of stuff. Homosexuality is unique in that that's the one sin that you'll see in churches. You'll hear groups that are saying, well, the Bible's wrong. You know, God actually approves of this. That's the one thing that for whatever reason they're trying to push through like it's good when the Bible says otherwise. So it's unique. So we need to talk about the fact that it's a little bit different. It's increasingly popular. I don't know if you guys watch TV. I like TV. I watch a lot of TV. Probably should stop, but anyway, I got Netflix, and there's a couple shows in there I never heard of, so I tried to do some research and find some cool shows. This one, it was a cop show. And the first minute of the first episode is three cops or whatever, hanging out, and the first guy says, hey, did you guys hear about that guy Brad? And the other guy says, yeah. And so the one guy was like, so is he gay? And the guy was like, well, I don't know, but I slept with him last night. And they were like, oh, well, good for you. And I'm like, where did that come from? It had nothing to do with the show. I had to turn it off. I'm like, every single show, they introduce characters and they introduce themes and all this kind of stuff. And this is, I detail this in the book. It's a strategy that they did on purpose. They specifically did this on purpose to try to push this out there so that you become desensitized to it. So when you see it, it's like, oh, it's not that big a deal. We see it all the time. And to make it seem like it's a regular thing. So we're going to break this down a little bit. It impacts countless lives and souls. that's something a lot of people don't think about. It's not a topic that you think about on a daily basis. You know, you just go about your daily basis, your daily routine, I should say. But there are people who deal with this every single day. So we need to be concerned about that. Too many people believe the myths. This is why I call it the book, The Truth About Homosexuality. This is not the opinions about homosexuality or the ideas. This is the truth. Okay? I have to stress that because that's going to be important later. And the bottom one says, too many Christians remain silent on the issue. And I understand. It is an uncomfortable issue. It's controversial. I've dealt with this many times. I bring it up. People are like, why are you hateful? You hateful bigot. You homophobe. And they just go on and on. And just I've heard it so many times. I just let them get it all out. And I try to respond in, you know, nice way. And that, you know, that's tough for me. Because back in the day, I'd be like, who you calling? You know, I would get all upset. But I try to calm it down and do it a nice way now. So Missy tells me I do a good job. So I think I'm all right. So why me? Why am I the one who's always talking about this stuff? Well, for one, I'm passionate about God. Okay? That's like the most important. I'm also passionate about people. I love people. I care about people. Okay? And I care about sexual purity. I know my church family hears me say this a lot. I hope this doesn't, you know, bother you. But I'm a virgin. I'm waiting till marriage before I have sex. Thank you. And I came to the conclusion, because I used to have a time frame when I'm like, Lord, if I'm not married by 30, I'm just going to go ahead and just do some stuff because this is taking too long. Then I hit 30, and I'm like, Jesus, what? I thought we had an agreement here. But I had to come to the conclusion that it doesn't matter if I get married or not. I still have to honor God. So I made that decision. Whether I get married or not, whether Jesus comes first or death comes first or whatever, I'm not going to violate my vow to remain celibate until that happens. So from that position, I believe I can speak on this. Because I went to a conference once, and this guy, he's married, can have sex whenever he wants, and he's trying to tell other people, you shouldn't be. I'm like, people have a trouble, you know, hearing that, because it's like, well, you can do whatever you want. I can't. But I'm fighting this fight every day. You guys know how much I love the ladies. You know what I'm saying? So this is not just like an easy thing. Like, I just walk through life like, you know, it's no big. It's tough. Yes. Last week, I was in my house like, Lord. Woo! I put on the Tom and Jerry. Normally the Tom and Jerry does the trick. That helps calm me. That didn't work. So I took a nap and that helped. So that's how I got through that fight. I'm also bold when it comes to speaking the truth. If you ask me to go talk to a beautiful lady, I'd be like, no. I'm not bold in that area. I'm bold when it comes to speaking the truth. So I believe that this is going to be a great thing. So let me give you a little intro on my book. And this little graphic I threw together and put it out there for everybody to know that it was out. And that it's available, the tough topics that I tackle there, some of the questions that I answer in the book is homosexuality a sin? Are people born gay? Can a homosexual go to heaven? Is it possible to overcome homosexuality? That's something that some people say it's not. I personally know people who have, so it is. So I break all this stuff down in the book. So if you, like you said, you guys know people or whatever, a lot of Christians, they're like, well, I know these people, but I don't know how to talk to them. Or I don't know what to say to help them out. I break all that down in here. I give you tips. I even have like little conversations that I've personally had so you can see what they say and how to respond. So I believe this is a great help for people. So let's talk about some important definitions before we continue. When I say homosexuality, this is what I mean. It's erotic activity with members of the same gender. All right? What is a fact? It's a shame that I have to break this down, but I do. What is a fact? A fact is verified truth. The source of a fact is truth. I had these people get mad at me because I used the word fact on my book. Like, what do you mean fact? Where are your facts at? I'm like, they're in the book. Like, what do you mean where the facts at? Well, who did you? I said, I cite all my stuff. They're in the, would you like to read the book? I ain't reading that book. Okay. I'm like, oh, man. So what is an opinion? An opinion is an unverified view, belief, or conclusion formulated in your mind. The source of an opinion is you. So if I form an opinion, I came up with that opinion. Likewise, if you did the same thing. This is an important distinction. The reason that's important is because if I present a fact-based argument and you say that you disagree, guess who's wrong? For example, let's use something real simple. My name is Bruce. That's a fact. My dad can tell you. If someone met me and was like, your name ain't Bruce. I don't believe that. they're wrong. Right? Now, if we were having an opinion versus opinion conversation where I said, you know, I think, you know, Marvel is the best, you know, comic books series. And you're like, well, no, I think DC is the best. Those are opinions. So we would go back and forth all day long. Nobody would change their opinion. And we'd walk away with the same opinion. That's different. So there's a difference between fact and opinion. Okay. So when you say you disagree, this is the definition out of the dictionary. To disagree is to maintain a different opinion. Okay. It's not like I have a different fact. It's a different opinion. So what is an advocate? Because I use this word throughout my book and in this message here. An advocate is an individual who is not homosexual, but passionately promotes and defends homosexuality. I have a lot of friends who are advocates, and they're the ones who like to come at me all hard. So now we got to break down this one of my favorite topics, rational versus irrational. Rational is clear thinking based on facts and reason, not feelings and opinions. Okay? Conversely, irrational is unclear thinking based on feelings and opinions, not on facts and reason. All right? So I'm going to give you an example because we need to be rational. Have you guys heard of cheesesteaks? It's a sandwich with steak and also cheese. Two of my favorite things. I love cheesesteaks, but cheesesteaks hate me. I've never been able to eat a cheesesteak and had a good experience after. Okay, so I think I might have had 3 or 4 in my life. That's it. So the last time, I think I was about 19, I was out with a friend of mine. She was hungry. She ordered a cheesesteak. She ate half of it. She was like, I'm not going to eat the rest of this. I'm about to throw it away. You should have it. So my rational brain said, don't you do it. Don't do it. You know what's going to happen. My irrational brain said, but she's going to throw it away, though. You know, that's wasteful. Plus, she was talking about how delicious it was. I should probably taste it. I went ahead with the irrational side, with my feelings and my emotions and all that. Ate the cheesesteak. Enjoyed it in the moment. But later on, oh my. It was one of those where I was like, Lord, whatever sin I committed, if you just take it away, I'll never sin in my life. I mean, it was bad. I've never had a cheesesteak since. So I'll tell you that story to say, go with the rational brain. The rational side is where it's at. That's the facts and the reason. That's the smart part of you. The irrational part, don't follow that. So we have to use this rationality as we approach this topic here. So let's talk about some book responses. 99% of the responses I got were positive. I was very surprised, but very humbled by that, because I thought I was going to get a bunch of negative stuff. I didn't. I just want to read to you. This is the only person that I know that actually read the entire book already. He said, I'm not a big reader, but I finished the whole thing already. He said, the truth about homosexuality contains something for everyone. Whether you practice, support, or oppose homosexuality, there are nuggets of truth for all. If you take the time to read this book, there will be something that resonates to you personally. Bruce does an excellent job legitimately presenting truths that will hit you right where you're at. I personally have always had an unhealthy attitude toward homosexuals. I feel that after reading this book, it can be used as a tool to be less condemning and more compassionate. I don't consider this book a one-time read, but as a source of encouragement in my walk of life. That really blessed me, because a lot of people think that this book is just one directional. It's towards homosexuals, and I'm telling you, don't do it, and you're going to hell, and you know, I'm just breaking that whole thing. This book is for everybody. Regardless of where your position is at, this will help you out because of the way that I tackled it. So let's talk about some of the other responses I got. I got a little handful. I actually had them all broken down, but I just summed it all up in one slide. Those are the ladies that told me this. They basically said, congratulations. I'm not going to read your book, and I disagree with you. The one said, she was like, well, look, you have your opinion. I have my opinion. We're not going to change our opinions, so we'll just leave it at that. We'll agree to disagree. I'm like, you didn't even read the book. I even offered every single one of them. I said, there's a free preview on Amazon. Check out the free preview, and we can talk about it. I'm not going to read it. They all shut it down before they even opened the book. So like I said before, it makes no sense to say I'll disagree, because what does that mean? They hold a different opinion. It has nothing to do with the facts. So the conclusion I came to is that many advocates simply don't want to know the truth. They shut it down before. As soon as they saw truth, they're like, I ain't reading that. They don't want to know what it is. To them, confirmation bias is acceptable, but facts countering their position aren't. What that means is you come to a preconceived notion. You formulate your opinion first. Then whatever facts and truth or whatever comes that counter that, you reject it. But anything else, you accept that. That's called confirmation bias. So in other words, you're going to be right regardless in your mind, and you reject anything that conflicts with that. That's not accurate. That's not the good way to do anything. So we have to look at what the facts are and base our position on that. I'm sure you guys have seen kids do this before. You probably did as a kid. You're like, la, 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 you know, you're not listening. That's what these people do. They say, I agree to disagree, which is nonsense when it comes to factual matters. I agree to disagree. If it's fact, it's fact. Okay? All right. This is the issue that I have. Most of the advocates that I know, my friends and all these people that come against me as if I'm lying to them, they have done zero research, have examined zero facts, have spoken to zero gays or ex-gays who disprove their conclusions, and yet they're absolutely certain that their opinion is factual. I've done this. I've done the research. I'm continuing to do research. I learned some stuff yesterday. I was like, good Lord. I continue to do this. I've spoken to these people personally. I personally know people who have lived that lifestyle for years. One guy was over a decade. And the stuff that they have to tell you personally from the other side is truthful. They've lived that. So to not do any of that research and to say, well, I already know you don't, I ain't going to read that. That's not right. So the advocate position is inherently flawed. Most advocates are either ignorant, confused, or deceived. What I mean by that is ignorant is that they don't know the facts. Confused means they don't understand the facts. And deceived means they don't believe the facts. They know the facts, but they don't believe it. Just like someone said, your name ain't Bruce. Okay. Show you my license. And then, that ain't a real license. It's like whatever you show them. Secondly, it's based entirely on irrationality, which is why I broke that whole cheesesteak story down. Opinions never override facts. Now, here's the key. If you're a professing Christian, because a lot of these advocates that I know, they say they're Christian, who supports homosexuality, then you don't understand homosexuality or Christianity. Okay? And I'm going to show you why. First, we got to talk about political correctness. Political correctness says this. If it's offensive to someone or could be offensive to someone, then you're not allowed to say it. Have you heard about this? When someone says, oh, that's PC, or, oh, you can't say that, you have to say this. Says who? I could have swore there was something in them amendments in the Constitution about some freedom of speech. I could have swore that was written down. But they want to ignore that. So this is the flaws in that ideology. Number one, it immediately presents problems due to hypersensitivity. Hypersensitivity means that everybody these days is super sensitive. Everybody has thin skin. So regardless what you say, I'm offended by that. I take offense. Everybody's so easily offended. So if that's the case, that means that we can't say anything because I might offend you. It's possibly offensive. I can't say it. That's ludicrous. Secondly, it's a self-defeating concept because it's based on hypocrisy. Political correctness is a one-way road. So on the topic of homosexuality, if I say, and I'm going to show you the details, that homosexuality is wrong, you know, it's dangerous, blah, 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 and you take offense to that, then you tell me you can't say that, you're not allowed to say that. But that person can say, oh, well, homosexuality is good, and I believe that God approves of it, and that, you know, the Bible's wrong. So if I'm offended by that, you shouldn't be able to say that if we're following this ideology. But they're like, nah, I get to say what I want to say. That's hypocrisy. So this whole political correct thing has no place in Christianity. Christianity is about the truth. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know how many people walked away when Jesus told them the truth? He was offending people left and right. The goal is not to offend, but the question is not whether it's offensive. The first question is it true or not? And if you're offended by the truth, then you need to adjust your life, not adjust the truth to fit your whatever. I don't know what the word is, but to fit that. So I'm going to give you a perfect example of how political correctness works, how it plays out in reality. This guy's name is Dr. Paul Church. He's a Harvard professor, a urologist, and an expert in high-risk sexual behaviors. Listen to what he said. The evidence is irrefutable that behaviors common within the homosexual community are unhealthy and high risk for a host of serious medical consequences, including STDs, HIV and AIDS, anal cancer, hepatitis, parasitic intestinal infections, and psychiatric disorders. Life expectancy is significantly decreased as a result of HIV, AIDS, complications from other health problems, and suicide. This alone should make it reprehensible to the medical community, who has an obligation to promote and model healthy behaviors and lifestyles. Now, why he said that was because his superiors, he's at a prestigious medical facility, like one of the top ones in Boston. His superiors are super pro-gay and pro, you know, homosexuality. And they had banners and stuff, and they were doing all these gay pride events and all this kind of stuff. So they kept sending him emails. You guys, and there was a bunch of them, you guys join us. Let's go out as a company and do this. And they kept saying, we're medical professionals. We know what the results are. That's a conflict of interest. We shouldn't be supporting something where we know it's hurting people. So they wouldn't agree to do it. So guess what happened? So he wrote this in response to them. He said, please stop sending me these emails because I don't think it's right. They kept sending them the emails. So he responded this to them. And guess what? He got reprimanded for harassment and discrimination. They're harassing him, and he got reprimanded for harassment. And then when he wouldn't change his tune, he got fired. So he's been trying to, this has been over several years now. He's been trying to get appeals, and all the appeals are shut down because they're forcing this political correctness through. So this man lost his job. Here's the crazy thing. This man treats homosexuals. Not a single one rose a complaint against this guy. He never, ever mistreated someone or made them feel less than a human being or anything like that. He treated them. He helped. And that was his profession. He loved to do it. And all of a sudden, he gets fired. So what kind of sense does that make? So that's how political correctness works out. So here's the question I asked on the back of the book. Are your beliefs factual or fictional? This is something we all need to answer for ourselves. There's only two positions we can take. One is either homosexuality is normal, natural, safe, and moral. That's one position. The opposing position is homosexuality is abnormal, unnatural, unsafe, and immoral. It has to be one or the other. It can't be both of them. Okay? So, I shouldn't have to do this, but I do. What does the word normal mean? Because once we understand that, we'll see that homosexuality is obviously not normal. Normal is conforming to the standard or regular pattern. Homosexuality does not conform to the standard or the regular pattern. What is the data? The latest 2015 Gallup poll shows that the U.S. LGBT population is only 3.8%. Most people think it's 20. I heard one person, it's 50%. 50% of all the people in the United States, they say, are LGBT. It's only 3.8. So clearly the 96.2 is the norm. That's the standard. The 3.8 is not. All homosexual sex is a simulation of normal sex. It doesn't take a scientist that deals with rockets to understand that having two guys together, two guys are not sexually complementary. Their bodies were not made for each other. Two ladies aren't made for each other. In fact, ladies got to go shopping and do all kind of other stuff just to get stuff. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to do this. I'm trying to keep it PG. It's a simulation. It's not natural. They don't have the equipment. I'm going to skip this, but you guys get the point. I don't know how to say it any better. So let me tell you this: what this quote from this lady says. Her name is Camille Paglia. She says, homosexuality is not normal. On the contrary, it is a challenge to the norm. Nature exists, whether academics like it or not, and in nature, procreation is the single relentless rule. That is the norm. Our sexual bodies were designed for reproduction. Man fits woman. She actually had other words there, but I cleaned it up. No fancy linguistic game playing can change that biological fact. Not only is this powerful in itself because it's true, it's even more powerful because she's a lesbian. So you would think, you know, the homosexual community preaches tolerance and acceptance and all this kind of stuff. You would think they would say, oh, well, you're okay, you have that view, blah, blah. They attack this lady. They want to silence her because she's speaking the truth. Same thing they do to me, they do to her, which is not tolerance at all. Let me give you an analogy to just send this home. Keys were designed for a specific purpose, as were locks, right? The way that they work is together. And the purpose, they have an individual purpose, but then they have a purpose that goes beyond them. For example, if you have a treasure, you put your treasure in a chest. You want to lock that treasure up so nobody else gets it. You put a lock on it and a key and you shut it up. The treasure is more valuable than the key and the lock. But if you have two keys together, what is that going to do? Neither one can fulfill its purpose. Because that's not what it was designed to do. It's designed to work with a lock. Same thing with the lock. You got two locks together all day. That ain't locking anything. It's the same thing with people. We have individual purposes. But when we work together, when a husband and wife get together, there is a purpose that it goes beyond those two people. Firstly, when a man is married to his wife, that glorifies God. Blessings come down, glory goes up. So that's beyond those two people. On a natural standpoint, the fruit of marriage is children. That's beyond those two people. The only way children can be created is by a man and a woman. In the homosexual community, they have to jump through all these hoops to try to make that happen. I read this article where this guy, not with anybody, some kind of way he got an egg and stuff situated, but he didn't have anybody to carry it. So his mom offered to carry his child. These are the things that just... it's not natural. So it's obviously unnatural. So let's talk about this. The two arguments that you'll hear most often about whether homosexuality is natural or unnatural are people that say they're either born that way or that appealing to animal behavior. Well, they'll appeal to animal behavior, but it fails to legitimize homosexuality in humans. What that means, let me start with the first one. I don't like this argument because it doesn't help. Even if you were born that way, which there's no scientific evidence to prove, but even if you were, that doesn't mean it's right. Amen. So we were all born into sin. Like, I can't use that argument. I can't use the argument that, well, God made me to love the ladies, so I'm going to go out and just do a bunch of ladies.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to stop the talk at this point. I hope you did enjoy this. This is part one of a two-part series. So even though we are breaking off in the middle, we're going to carry on in the next talk, which you can find here at BPN Radio and Seismic Radio, on the same subject. We let Bruce finish his talk. He's written a book called The Truth of Homosexuality, and I'm sure you can track it down on Amazon. His name is Bruce Smith. Bruce Smith. Okay. Bruce Smith Jr. So, by the sounds of it, his father carries the same name. Anyway, just to reiterate, I think it's important we need to be armed. We need to be ready with arguments to oppose the agenda and the narrative that is forced down our throats almost on a daily basis through the media, through bad signs, and through a lot of other means and ways, which again, we need to oppose. We need to oppose. The Bible has got a very clear message, and I'm sure, you know, whatever way God has prepared for us is the very best way, and we should stick to it as far as possible. Okay, and the key as well is again, we all have got problems, we all have got issues. Sin is a reality in all of our lives, and we need to encourage one another, not to hate one another or, you know, give one another a hard time about the sin we are dealing with. And it's the same way as well with people who follow this lifestyle. We should reach out to them in the love of Christ and tell them about a better way, a way of true love, a way of love, the love of God in their lives, which is real and which is powerful and which I'm sure can sway the worst offender, you know, to abandon his ways and to follow the living God. Okay, you can pick up this talk in the Christian War Room, christianwarroom.com. This is going to be talk 190s somewhere. So check it out and you can pick up this talk again. You can listen to it again. And we obviously welcome you to listen to other talks as well. Lord, we pray, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to help people who are caught up in this lifestyle. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a heart and the love to reach out to them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to christianwarroom.com. That's christianwarroom.com.